Last time I spoke here, we were chatting about being about our father's business. You remember? The family business? Vaguely. Okay, so I'm going to just carry on a little bit around that. Just on a little bit of a different focus tonight. I'm just going to have a very quick recap from Luke chapter 2, 46 to 50. When Jesus and his parents, when he was a boy, went to the feast. On their way back, there we go, there you are. Guys are looking good. On the way back, he was kind of stayed behind in Jerusalem and they didn't know. It was 46. Now it was after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard were astonished at his understanding and answers. So that when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. So if you recall, a while ago we chatted about the incredible relationship that God invites us to, as relating to us as a father, and we relating to him as children, meeting our Father God. And as we mature in our relationship with Christ, and as we mature our relationship in the family of God, he invites us to be a part of the family business, and to be a partner with him in his redemptive purpose for the earth. And so that's that invitation for us to yoke with him, to partner with him, to be a part of his plan and his purpose. And then if you remember, we spoke about like Jesus' parents. They were on their way somewhere. They were on the journey. There was chaos, a lot of people, obviously a bit crazy. And they thought Jesus was amongst the, you know, in the group somewhere. And like it often happens, I thought he was there, and then he wasn't there. And then they had to kind of stop and look for him and go back. And they only found him after 3 days, which must have been exciting. But often we find ourselves in similar situations where the Lord calls out to us and kind of gets us to pause. And he asks those questions. Where are you? Where are you going? What are you doing? Type of thing. Just to get us to pause and take stock of where we're at and where we're going. And sometimes then we notice, oh my goodness, I thought Jesus was here, but it seemed like he'd taken a turn and I missed the turn. And I'm so running after this thing and I'm so pursuing this thing I'm going for, or this career or this relationship or something, that I didn't know, I didn't notice that Jesus had taken a turn and I missed it. And then there's that crazy moment where we stop everything and we humble ourselves before God and we have to hear from him. And often it's just the Lord saying to us, "I just need you to, we're just over here, it's not far, it's not a train smash, I just need you to make an adjustment or make a shift. So sometimes it's a big shift, sometimes we come to realization, my goodness, I can't remember when last I heard the Lord's voice, you know, and we just have the shock. But it's important that when that still small voice comes through, that we respond to it. And the thing is, when we are in that place where the still small voice comes through, and we realize, oh dear, I need to make a change or I need to make a shift, there's often a number of things that stand between us and the purpose of God. Often a number of things that keep us from embracing the fullness of his purpose and the fullness of his plan. So I'm going to look at a few of those this evening. That's one or two main ones. But you know, you're in that moment and you realize, and then the still small voice comes. It's not often a big thundering voice from heaven. It's just a still small conviction. And often we're thinking, but I've put so much into this thing, and I believed it was of God. But, you know, now the Lord wants me to make the shift. And then often we kind of ignore the still small voice. Or I've been in this relationship for so long. I thought this is it, and now I feel God saying this is not it. He's not in it. But I've invested so much time in it, and I've invested so much, you know, of myself in it, and it's so difficult to make that call. And or I'm going to let so many people down. If God calls me to move jobs now, or to move countries or towns, or there's a big shift happening, I'm going to let people down. People are relying on me, type of thing. And we're under pressure. And it's often then that we have to kind of really hear from God. And it's very tricky. It's not always an easy thing. Let's read together from John chapter 10. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. We see these two extremes here. We see Jesus saying, I've come that you may have life and have abundance of life. And we see the enemy coming to kill and to steal and to destroy. And when we know this, when we come with this understanding that if you and I are serious or are pursuing relationship with God, there's always the enemy that is trying to keep us from that place of fullness. Is trying to keep us from that place of fulfillment and partnership with God. And he will do whatever he can to keep us from being effective and to being a part of the business and to be partnering with God. If he realizes that he can't destroy your relationship with Christ, then he will, as long as he can get us ineffective, then he's happy. As long as he can get us ineffective in terms of, you know, just being happy and not really making any difference where we're at, then he's fine with that. That's why I get nervous when everything just goes smoothly. Sometimes I'm thinking, where is the devil? What is he doing? Why isn't he upset with me? Or, you know, taking us on. Seems like when the kingdom is advancing, there's always another kingdom that has to give way, and there's going to be repercussions. So one of the big things that the enemy throws at us is fear. And something that goes along with fear that the enemy doesn't throw at us, but that he uses, is pride. Something that we are responsible for. And those two work closely together. So we're going to look a little bit at those tonight. And then, you know, that fear in that moment when you paralyze and you know you have to make a decision, but it's just too big, or it's just there's too much at stake, or there's just so the cost is too great, and you have to count the sums, count the cost, and it's just too great. And then we face with that thing: am I going to trust God, or am I just going to do my own thing? Am I going to make this tough call, or am I going to ignore the still small voice a little bit longer? Let's read from Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Another translation says, believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And there's this place where the writer of to the Hebrews says here, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But whoever comes to God, whoever approaches God, must firstly believe that he is who he says he is in his word, and that he's a rewarder of those who actually pursue him and seek him. In other words, the crux of the matter is here: can I trust him? Is God trustworthy? Is he really faithful? Because when we're in that precious situation and I have to make this critical call, or I have to make a big change, or even a small change for that matter, do I really know that I can trust him? Do I really know that he is faithful? Because it's risky. I mean, sometimes there's big, you know, changes, or sometimes the Lord calls us to do amazing, weird things, and it costs us something. It costs us maybe a career that we thought is the greatest thing ever, or a relationship, we battle with this thing. Am I going to lay all this stuff that I thought was good and great, am I going to lay this down and be obedient, or am I going to run on in my own way. Is he true to his word? All the stuff that he says in his word about himself, can I trust him in that? And that's kind of what goes, you know, that's the stuff that... So it's incredible, even from early in our relationship with God, I think the trust thing is a big thing. Because we trust God with things. Do we trust him with our health, our provision, our relationships? There's so many things that God wants to bless us with, but we have to really trust him with it and hand over control for us to really to walk in the fullness of what he has prepared for us. So that's where that fear thing comes in. Can I trust him? It's risky. Is it going to work out? And then we have to kind of deal with that wrestling. And often we fall into a trap when things don't go our way. I know that doesn't happen to many of us. But, you know, things go wrong and the Lord doesn't come through as we thought he would, or things don't go our way, or I don't get that job. There's a different job which I'm not really interested in, or... You know, there's this guy that the Lord points out to me, but Lord, but he's not the one that I had in mind, or this lady, or, you know, things go differently. And then we get all upset, and some of us try to manipulate God with tantrums. I don't know, not many of us see our parents, but those parents in the corner there will know about tantrums. I've seen one or two. It's quite amazing. I must actually ask my mom if I used to do that. It must be very interesting. But have you seen the amount of energy and passion that goes into one of those little tantrums? A friend of mine always used to say that it's so ridiculous when a child throws a tantrum in a shopping, in a shop somewhere, wanting to have something, and then the parents just give it to them, just to keep them quiet. And he says it's ridiculous. You're teaching the child wrong. You know, you can't do that. But then he admitted the other day that the first time his kid did that, he couldn't get that packet of sweets open quickly enough just to get her quiet, you know. Just bribe the child and just stop this embarrassing thing. And often we think this will work with the Lord. We think throwing our toys out of the cart will manipulate God into having it our way. It doesn't work like that. And the challenge here is to make a peace with that sovereignty of God, to know that in fact, he knows better. In fact, his will is the best thing that can ever happen to us. And and the challenge there, it goes along with that pride. You know, the pride of, I've been walking with the Lord for a while, and I'm doing well, you know. I haven't used a swear word for a number of years, or I've been laying off the drink a bit or whatever, you know, we kind of think I'm a good Christian now and I'm doing well and I'm growing and etc. I'm actually quite a good Christian, you know? And kind of thinking, no, this is going well. And then, I'm doing well at my job, and you know, at the beginning I know this is the blessing of God and it's the grace of God, but later I just I know it's me, you know, I know I'm styling it, you know, I'm waxing this thing. And it's interesting because when it's the other way around, when things don't go well and I can't get a job, then I'm discouraged or I'm depressed, or when things go wrong in a relationship and in the worldly standards I'm a failure, then it's the same pride, because it's the pride that says it depends upon me to make it. It depends upon me. If I can make it work, then it'll work. If I can just cut it, if I can get this promotion, if I don't get it, I'm depressed because it depends upon me. You get what I'm saying? It's the same pride, just on two different sides of the coin. And that's kind of, it's one of those things that we have to wrestle with. Now, the incredible thing... No, that's real. That's not a tantrum. I'm always challenged by this account in Daniel chapter 3, where this things don't work out as these guys expected. Okay, they've been standing up for God, they've been going for Jesus type of thing, you know, in their workplace, out there in the world, making a stand for Him. And I'm not going to mention their names. They've got terrible names. Please don't give your children names like this. Although Adnan and I have decided we're going to do Habakkuk. So that one's taken. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are still free. Okay, so. But in any case, so they, these three guys, they went, the king decreed that he's going to build this huge idol type thing, and whenever there's like a certain music thing or signal, the whole nation has to bow before this thing in worship. And they refuse, in other words, you know, stepping out in faith, we're not going to do this, we worship God only. Obviously, they get in trouble, and the king says, we're going to burn you. You're going to bow or you're going to burn. One of the two is no in between. Make a choice type of thing. They got this huge furnace there, and they stick to their choice. And here's what they say in verse 17, chapter 3 of Daniel, verse 17, 18. It says there, if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They're saying, listen, we respect you, king, but we will not bow before this thing. There's only one God that we will bow to. There's only one God we worship. And He's able to deliver us from this furnace, this terrible death that you've planned for us. But even if He chooses not to, even if He chooses for us to burn in there, we will still not worship anybody else. We will still not bow before any idol. It doesn't matter whether God comes through in the way that we think He was going to come through, we worship Him only and nobody else. You see that there? Even if He doesn't, even if we burn to bacon or to crisp, I don't know what, but the fire was so hot, the guys that chucked them in got killed. Even if we burn, that won't change anything. And the amazing thing is there, now I always try to imagine myself in their shoes. Is it going to be a rainstorm? Is it going to be a flood? How is the Lord going to kill this fire before we get chucked in it? How are we going to make it through this? And He's right there with them. In the fire, in the worst possible moment of their lives, He's there and He's present with them, and He delivers them out of that place. And the challenge for me in this is, am I at that place where I can say, Lord, even the worst possible thing that I can imagine, if it really comes across my path, how is it going to affect my loyalty to you? Am I going to still worship you? I believe God has that grace for us. That even when He comes through in a different way, even when His timing, I don't know, some of you think God's timing stinks. You know, it's always late. It's not like that. Even when we think God is late, or He forgot about us, or to know, that doesn't change anything. It's still the King of the universe. Even when things don't go my way, even when everything looks like it's falling apart, I still worship only one God. There's no one else worthy of our worship. And it's funny, when you've walked a while with the Lord, and especially if you've been working for a bit and the Lord is blessing you in your job, and you, like I said, you're doing it and it's going well, and it's, you know, maybe a promotion here or there, we get to a place where it's quite comfortable. And it's, you know, I know some people, you've got a budget and then you've got an emergency budget, you know, and then just a contingency type of thing. And then there's a contingency for the emergency budget. So we've got so many contingencies and so many plan B's and C's that we're never really in a place where we have to rely on God. We're really not really putting our faith in Him. And the challenge there is, Do you remember a time when you were young in the faith, or just starting your job, or looking for a job, or when it was tough and you had to rely on God? There was no plan B. There was no second option. It was just God. I know you. If you don't get me out of this, that's not going to happen. If you don't open this door, there's no other door. If you don't provide here, I have no other option. And it's such an amazing place of intimacy with God. It's such an amazing place of relying on Him for every bit, of every breath of air, almost every day. And sometimes we grow over that, and then we kind of just wallow in a place of comfort and ineffectivity, I believe. I remember times where I didn't have any other plan. I had to trust God. There was no plan B. There was no second, no option. I told you about that friend of ours that said she's trusting God to put on new tires on her car. But if he doesn't come through, she'll put it on a credit card. Yeah. So I had a bit of a laugh about that later. But it's funny. We think like that. You're like, Lord, yeah, I'm really trusting you for this. But in the back of my mind, thinking, oh, if it doesn't work out, I'll just put it on the credit card or something like that. There was a time early in our marriage, Adam and I, it was a bit tight on the finances. And it was really such a special time, actually, because it was a lot of pressure, just, starting the church in Joburg. And Adam and I wasn't working yet. And we started after those. Do you have those things that come off your bank account at the beginning of the month? And it goes, and then it's like those set things and just disappear. Everything is gone. And then at that stage, we were left like with 100 rand after all those things just disappear into this big hole. So we had 100 bucks for the month, which is less than 10 pounds. Is it true? Yes. So it's not exactly the same, but gives you an idea. And it was actually so amazing. There was the specific month that I can remember where I actually calculated it, and we came to what it was about 110 rand. And that was the month where we ate in amazing restaurants. People invited us over for dinner. We were like, yeah, let me just check. Yes, no, we can make it. And obviously there were times where we just had very simple little thing at home, but it's just that in those stages, in those times when you really, no, there's no plan B. I don't have a backup plan here. God has to come through. And you get to know Him in a very specific way. And when I say, I'm not saying don't have a budget. I'm not saying don't have a contingency budget. All I'm saying is don't rely on that budget. Don't put your faith in your budget or in your plan or in your family plan or in your career plan. Or if you don't have a plan, come speak to me afterwards. But don't put your faith in that. Some of us, in the faith movement, we say, just have faith, and we like psych ourselves up, and then we have faith in faith. But don't have faith in faith. Put your trust in God. He's the one. He's our source. He's our provider. So have a budget, okay? But don't put your faith in that. So, but the crux here is, again, can I trust God? Even when it's going well, can I put my trust in Him for the move I'm making, or the plan I'm making? Or is He trustworthy? Is He faithful? Do I know Him as that? Do I know Him to be faithful? Do I know Him in that intimate way? Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this is simple, we've mentioned it often, but this is how we know. Because God paid the highest price that you can imagine for your life. He says, I will love you so much, and as Andy said, I ascribe so much worth to you as a person that I'm willing to pay this price. It's the greatest price that has ever been paid for anything in the universe. And He paid it for you. You know He loves you. He did not withhold His Son. The other day I was very tempted for about 30 minutes. I was considering buying a bicycle, going into debt to buy a bicycle. Now, I know you're thinking bicycle, £100, maybe £500. But this bicycle cost £6,500. Okay. Yeah, no, you see. It was very short time, don't worry. Now, if a millionaire buys a bicycle for that amount, nobody will care. But if you see me riding a bicycle like that, you'll know it's worth something to me. Understand what I'm saying? It's like I paid a lot of money for that thing, or I'm paying a lot of money every month for that thing. And that means I ascribe a lot of worth to that thing. And that's exactly what God is saying. He said, I love you so much. I'm willing to pay this incredible price. I have paid this price. Greater than any other price, there's no greater worth that has been ascribed to anything in the universe. But the King of Kings saying, willing to give my son. And that's why we know. That's why we know when it's tough and I don't know where to go and I have to step off this ledge. God, it's been comfortable this side, but God wants me to step this way. I know I can trust Him because He's demonstrated His love in the most amazing way that we can imagine. He's shown it to us. 2 Timothy chapter 1:6-7, Paul encourages Timothy. He says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame that gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Now this the translation says self-discipline or a sound mind. So he says, fan this thing, this gift that God has given. Work with what you've been blessed with. And he says, we've not received the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So instead of fear, God has got power and love and self-control for us. Instead of being in the like a deer in the headlights, paralyzed with fear, because we know I've got to do something, but it's just too big. I can't do it. I can't make the choice. It's too much. It's just the price is too high. I'm going to just stick with what I know and when I'm comfortable. In that place of pressure, God says, I've got power and love and self-control for you. And the amazing thing is that trust that we need to put in God in that moment. It doesn't come just overnight. It's not something that snaps into place and then you're there. It's amazing how the Lord takes us step by step by step. And we grow. We grow in our understanding of who He is. We grow in our revelation of who He is. We grow in our trust for Him, in our trust in Him. After that season, Erna and I, when it was a bit tight, what happened there is, Erna was looking for a job for a while, and the Lord kept on bugging me to get medical aid. In South Africa, it's necessary to have something called medical aid. Okay, so you pay money every month so that when something goes wrong, you can go to a hospital, a decent hospital. Anyway, so then this is going to cost a lot of money, and I was like just putting it off the whole time because there simply wasn't enough money in our bank, in our budget for it. So, and then the Lord convicted me of it, and I said, okay, I'll do it. And that was the first time where I put my signature on a piece of paper, knowing that if I sign this, I can't pay for it. Does it make sense? In other words, so when it comes off my account next month, there won't be enough money. In other words, there's not enough coming in for what I've signed for to go out. And that's the month and I got work. That's how God operates. So that I knew this is it. There's no plan B. They're going to come fetch me. I don't know what they do. But, just God is just amazing. The thing is, after an experience like that, God, we know God is our provider. We can trust Him for that because we've experienced Him as our provider. We've experienced it close to home. He's our provider. And if, you know, the one situation on Star Trek, for instance, when that we were cycling around the country praying, the one time I had a very bad knee injury, and I couldn't really put any weight on my knee. And it was the one day when our team was a bit stretched out on the road. Normally we stuck together in a group, but this specific day we spread out a bit. And I was so desperate because I couldn't, it was only about halfway through the day and it was the longest day and I couldn't put any weight on my knee. Every time I tried it, it was just kind of give way. It was very, very painful. And I remember I was like alone, relatively alone on the road, and I just cried to God. I said, Lord, you know, I just basically cried out to Him. I can't remember what I said. But in the moment, the presence of God was with me, and He healed me completely. And I was basically finished there. I was ready to glide down next to the road, and when their support vehicle came by, they would have just chucked me in the back, you know, and I was basically ready to go home. And it's just as if the Lord plugged me into a new source of energy and of strength. And that was Him. He was the source. And the pain went away completely, and I could finish the day very strongly. And, you know, after a day like that, I know God is my healer. I don't doubt it. I know He's our healer. When I pray for other people, I know God heals. I don't wonder about it because I've experienced God as a healing God, as the one who heals us. And I can know I can trust Him. In the same, but the thing is, people, you and I, we need to trust God to get into that situation where, Lord, I can only trust You. We need to, you know, somewhere organize our lives so that I don't run to the doctor first. Yes, it's good to go to the doctor. I'm nothing against that. I go to the doctor. But I know God is my healer. Yes, I have a budget and a banking account, but I know God is my provider. And there's an amazing place where He takes us step by step. Yes, I want you to know Me in this way. I want you to know Me in this way, that you can trust Me, that you don't have to be driven by fear. I don't have to be paralyzed when I speak to you. I want you to know that you can trust Me. That when I call, that we can move, that we can go for it. And as we follow Him, and as we are transformed, we become like Him. It's that process of working out our salvation. He transforms us. And you know, when you go through a season like that, when you experience God in that way, in a way like that, it's such a special place of building a monument there. You write it down, tell people about it, testify about it. And you know, when you get into a tough spot again, you look back over your life and there's this monument of His faithfulness. And you see one after the other, God is faithful. He's never let me down. He's never dropped me. He's always provided. He's always been there. So often it's been not like I thought it's going to be. Often, then after I thought it's going to, after, you know, you always say, Lord, it would be great if this could happen around this time, you know, in the month, and it never does, but it's always on time. God is always on time. His timing is perfect. His provision is perfect. And it's those monuments that take us through the time of struggle and the time of making the tough calls and really putting our trust in Him. And the thing here, people, is that the Father's business is for us to multiply ourselves. The Father's business is for us to have children in the Spirit. And I don't know if I spoke about this last time, but if we see a negative birth rate physically in Europe and many countries in Europe. And I believe it's often because it's not convenient to have children. If you notice, people don't want children anymore because it interferes with their lives. It interferes with schedules and deadlines and promotions and career plans and holidays. I mean, you know, can't go on a world tour with three kids. can. But you can. You know, because it's not convenient. And I believe it's similar spiritually. Why are we having, in some countries, we have a negative birth rate spiritually? Because it's not convenient to make disciples. It's messy. It takes a lot of patience. It takes time and effort. And you have to, we've all been in that season where we had to be nurtured and we needed support and we needed people around us. And God wants us to be that person for somebody else. Take them by the hand. But it's not convenient. And it's not comfortable. I believe He wants to bring it to a place where you say, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price to be a part of this business. I want to be obedient when You call. I want to respond to Your word when you speak. I don't want to be paralyzed. I don't want to be a chameleon Christian. And I realized this morning in Weybridge that they're not really chameleons in this country. So I'm just going to quickly explain what a chameleon is. Who doesn't know? Let's just check. Those little animals that walk very slowly and that change color. When they go onto different color plants, they change the colors. It's amazing. Amazing animals. Just, you know, who can doubt that there's a God? In any case, when I was little, I put one in a Smarty box. I know it's cruel, but I had to try it, you know. I thought, yes, let's see this thing perform. And didn't make it, eh? I think the moment was just too great for the poor thing. And it went like a brown color and looked a bit embarrassed. And then eyes going like this, you know. In any case, so please don't do that. That's not nice. But you're all stressed out. But the chameleon is that, you know, it's holding onto something and it's going for another branch. But it takes like 5 minutes. And the eyes are checking everybody out like this. And then, like after you think, come on, are you ever going to move? Then it takes the next branch, you know. And it's very frustrating to watch. But sometimes we like that. God speaks and we're like, can I trust Him? We're looking around. Is it really God? Am I going to fall? You know, we're looking, checking it out. And then by the time the opportunity has passed and we do miss it and then we're upset with God. But I'm going to challenge us. There's a place, yeah, that He's gone before us. Jude chapter 1, from verse 24. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And He says there, Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, Him is He's able to present you blameless before the presence of His glory. He is able. You know, I went through a stage in my life where I almost didn't do anything because I was so scared it was not the will of God. It's like, am I going to miss Him? I don't want to do it if it's not God's will, type of thing. And it's not a bad thing to pursue God's will, but it's a bad thing if fear basically paralyzes you to do nothing. That's what fear does. It makes us indecisive. It causes us to procrastinate. It causes us to be overcautious and to be a chameleon Christian. And I can speak out from experience. And here God says, I will keep you from falling. He's able to keep us from stumbling. He's able to keep us from falling. I love this example a friend of mine used where, have you seen children play? Yes, I love it to see some of the kids play yesterday. They just play until they drop. And they just go for it. And they love it. And you can see they're having fun. You know, I've seen children, they play and they play and then they just collapse. And they sleep. I mean, because they've got to rest, you know. And then when they wake up, they just play on. I mean, they just collapse there over their toys and then they just get up and go on, you know. And their parents, you know, they don't have to tell them how to play because they go for it 100%. They give everything. They don't have to tell them how to do it. But then, as soon as that child goes where it's going to be dangerous, the parent is there to say, no, don't go there. Don't go near the road. Don't go up on those stairs. You're going to get hurt there. Don't go near the pool if you can't swim. And it's that, you know, often we're so scared to miss God. But guys, know that God is faithful to keep us from stumbling. Know that, yes, seek His face, pursue His will, let Him allow Him to direct your steps. But if you feel you've heard from God, run with it. And know He's faithful. If you're going in the wrong direction, He says, son, don't go there. You're going to get hurt there. My daughter, don't go into that relationship. It's only hurt there for you. Don't go there. He's faithful to do that. He's faithful to keep us. But then don't ignore Him, please. Okay? One time I was going to buy a car. I don't know if I told you this. Yeah, I was excited. My first car. I made my sums. It was a bit dodgy, but I was going to go for it. Okay? Thinking back to it, I think the Lord delivered me. But in any case, I was going to buy a Golf, Chico. And at that stage, that was like the most amazing thing because it was the only thing that fitted in my budget. So I already signed the offer to purchase, which means this deal is basically through. I'm just have to kind of sort out the last things and then take possession of the vehicle. And the moment I signed that document, and a friend of mine who was doing the deals, the moment he left, I got ill. Because the peace of the Lord just left. And I just realized this is not God. This is not He was just saying, no, son, don't go there. I don't, till this day, I don't know why. He just said, don't do that. And for about a day and a half, I was really like nauseous and didn't feel well. And I was like, ugh. And then I phoned, I said, listen, you got to have grace on me. I need to cancel this thing. Please, can we cancel this thing and do what you need to do? And the guys had grace on me, and they said, and the moment that I put down that phone, I was fine. And I just knew, okay, the Lord is saying, okay, good. You know, carry on. And, you know, that was going to be my first car. And I just realized this afternoon, I've never bought a car in my life. For most men, that will be a bad thing to say, because it's like, I've never bought a car. Yeah. But you know what? God has always provided. I've never had to worry about the transport. He's always made a way. But to know that peace and to know that when you go in the wrong direction, to know, I can trust you, God, because I know if I go in the wrong, He's going to be there to help me, to keep me from going in the wrong direction. Please stand with me tonight and if you could get the elements for the communion. In 1 John chapter 4, 17-19, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. And I was just reminded of that piece in Job chapter 3. If you haven't read Job lately, go and read what that guy went through. It's quite amazing. And at one stage when he was basically, before the Lord restored him, chapter 3:25, it says, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. What he says, basically says, that which he feared, that fear that he allowed to control him, that actually happened to him. That paralyzing fear that caught him in the headlights there. That stuff, you know, that's where we need to watch our mouth, where we need to watch our confession, where we need to watch what we confess over our lives. Because that we fear the most, if we don't handle that fear correctly, if we don't bring that fear to God, if we don't submit that fear to Him and allow His perfect love to drive it out and to cleanse us of that fear, it's going to be... it's going to be trouble. Okay, so. Thanks. So the challenge here tonight is, for me as well, you know, when we are in that place of either we, you know, the still small voice, and we realize When we pause and we take stock and we realize, oh dear, I've been running after something, but the Lord has already taken a different turn. And I've missed Him somewhere. Or I've been in this relationship and I need to make a drastic change. What is stopping me from being obedient? Or even just in the day-to-day things. When I'm just in my workplace, or I want to share the gospel with someone, or I want to reach out to someone, in the little things. What is stopping me from moving in obedience? Is there fear in my life? Is there pride in my life? Is there pride that keeps me from humbling myself before the living God and receiving the grace that He has prepared for me? Knowing that it's sufficient. Knowing that I can trust Him. That He's able to keep me from falling. He's able to present me blameless and whole. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You, through the blood of Your Son, Lord, that You've made a way for us to know You as our Father. That You made a way for us, God, to walk in an intimate relationship with You. That You washed us clean, Lord, that You opened the way, that You removed everything that kept us from You, Lord, that we can know You. And I thank You, Lord, that You desire and You invite us to a place of partnership with You in the family business, God. That we may be about our Father's business. That we may know what He has prepared for us. That we may yoke with Him and partner with Him for the sake of the gospel. Lord, we thank You for that, Lord. We thank You that Your grace that You have made available to us in the cross. Lord, would we acknowledge this evening, Lord, that there are many things that keep us from that abundance. There are many things, Lord, that seek to destroy us and that keep us running in a different direction and keep us away from that place of fulfillment in yoke and in partnership with You, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would expose every one of those things tonight, Lord. Every fear in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that You would show us, Lord, every bit of pride, Lord. Everything, Lord, that is so almost part of us, Lord. It's been there so long. Give us the grace, Lord, and the humility to bring it before You this evening, God, in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord, for Your anointing tonight to destroy every yoke that we are carrying that is not of You, Lord. Every yoke of fear, thank You that You destroy it, Lord. It's not something that's broken that can be fixed. It's destroyed. Your anointing destroys the yoke this evening in the name of Jesus. Where You're standing, I want You to just bring whatever, Lord, has laid on your heart, whatever you know is keeping you, whatever, whether it's sometimes a bit of doubt or sometimes a bit of timidity or what if, maybe a fear that you have. I want You just to bring it before Him. Or if you have trouble trusting God, I want You just to be honest with God tonight. Bring it before Him. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I want to know You as my provider. I want to know You in this area. I want to be able to trust You in this area. I want to be, when You speak and You give a command to move, I don't want to ask questions or have a vote, Lord. I want to run with You, Lord. I want to be a part of what You're doing every day. Just bring that before Him this evening. Just where You're standing. Father, I thank You, God, that You brought us free, that we might lay down our lives before You. You brought us free, Lord, that we might serve You with the very breath that You blessed us with, God. And this evening, I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here, that as You destroy every yokes, Lord, that You mobilize us to be obedient, Father, to mobilize us to be bold and respond as You speak, Father. Thank You, Lord, for a new boldness, Lord. Even as the apostles came together and they prayed and they asked for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, that to fill them with the greater boldness that they might preach the Word. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You release over us by Your Spirit a greater boldness, Lord, to preach Your Word, to minister to those around us, Lord, to make disciples, no matter what the cost, God. God, that You would move us beyond a place of of comfort and complacency in what we know and what we experience, have experience with, to a place where we have to trust you, God. And we know we can trust you, Lord. A place where we, like Peter, have to step out of what is comfortable in the boat and step out of into what is unknown and what is impossible, Lord. But we know that you are faithful, and we know that we can trust you, Lord, as we partner with you, Lord, for the sake of the gospel. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for that outpouring tonight, Lord, for a greater boldness, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your grace is sufficient for us.